So this morning is September 16th. We're here at Sharit Israel Friday morning for the first class of the year to finish up Masechet Sukkah in three classes. And what we're going to do now is in the sheet that we just gave out, as everyone can see, we're going to look at chapter 4, Mishnayot 1, 2, and 4, and chapter 3, Mishnayot 12 and 13. All of that in 55 minutes. And actually, a good 5 or 10 minutes we'll spend looking at the verse that everything is based upon. That's a verse we've seen in the past. It's in Sefer Vayikra, chapter 23, verse 40. So I'm opening up now to Vayikra in the Chumashim. And it's at the end of chapter 23, 730, page 730. Page 730 in the Chumash, the end of Parshat Emor, or near the end of Parshat Emor, Leviticus chapter 23, verse 40. And this famous verse that we've seen a number of times says as follows. I'm reading in Hebrew, the top of the page on the right-hand side, second line from the top. Ulekachtem lechem, b'yom rishon, priyetz hadar, kapot marim, vanaf etz avot, varvei nachal, usmachtem lefnei Adonai Eloheichem shivat yamim. Which means, I'm going back to the beginning of the verse, ulekachtem lechem.
What page again?
730.
730. Ah, okay.
Ulekachtem lechem, which means take for yourselves, b'yom rishon, on the first day, as of course we're talking in the context of Sukkot, pri etz hadar, like the fruit of a goodly tree, which is what, how do we say that in our present usage today? What fruit is that?
The citron.
Right? The etrog. Right? The etrog. Mm-hmm. Very good. And then kapot marim, what's that?
The palm,
right? That's the what we call the lulav.
Yeah.
And then also vanaf etz avot, which is that?
The willows.
That's not the willow.
Myrtle.
That's the myrtle, which in Hebrew is the?
Leafy trees.
In Hebrew, what do we call it today? What's the name of the species? Hadas.
Hadas.
Yeah.
That's the hadas. And lastly, va'arvei nachal. That's the one that Mo just said.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Arvei nachal means the willow of the brook. Usmachtem lefnei Hashem Elokeichem shivat yamim. And you should rejoice, right? Usmachtem, rejoice. Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem, before the Lord your God, shivat yamim, 7 days. So altogether the verse says, take for yourself on the first day these four species and rejoice before the Lord your God, 7 days. Now we've learned already, what's the meaning of before the Lord your God?
In the temple,
right? Exactly, in the Mikdash. But we also learned that there's a bit of a dispute, what do we mean by the temple? There is a limited understanding of what temple means, and there's an expansive meaning of what it is. Anyone remember? One approach is the temple means just the temple, just Har Habayit. Har Habayit? The Temple Mount. But others say, the Rambam holds, that this refers to all of the city of Jerusalem. Right? So we have that machloket among the authorities in trying to understand what is the extent of Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, before the Lord your God. Is it just the Mikdash itself, the temple itself, meaning Har Habayit, the Temple Mount, or is it all of the city of Jerusalem that constitutes Lifnei Hashem, before God? And what are you supposed to do before God on those 7 days? You're supposed to usmachtem. You're supposed to have simcha, rejoice. But we already talked last year that the traditional rabbinic interpretation of the verse is not just to be there and rejoice, but it's to rejoice in a certain fashion. What's that certain fashion? What are you supposed to have with you?
All of them tied together
and take them. In other words, the way the rabbis read the verse is, you should take for yourself on the first day these four species, and if you are Lifnei Hashem, you should have the four species for all 7 days. Remember that? We talked about that. So that's the way the rabbis got to the interpretation that the mitzvah of Arbat Aminim, the mitzvah of the four species, is one day when you're outside of the Mikdash. But when you're in the Mikdash, which either means the Temple Mount or all of Jerusalem, when you're inside the Mikdash, the mitzvah of the four species is 7 days. Because it says, take for yourself on the first day and then go rejoice with them. I'm adding the words with them, with the seven, with the four species, before our God for 7 days. So that's the foundation of the basic law d'oraita, the law of the Torah, that the mitzvah of the four species is 1 day outside of the Mikdash and 7 days in the Mikdash. Okay? So that's review.
So how does that work for us today?
Ah, good question, because today we don't seem to follow that.
Nope.
Not at all.
Temple.
No.
And people don't live in Jerusalem.
Okay, but
all over the world.
But what about people who live outside of Jerusalem? According to what we just learned, we should be taking the lulav for only one day, but we end up taking it for
seven.
Actually, for six.
Yeah.
Because we don't take it on one of the seven, which is which day?
Shabbat.
We don't take it today. And that really is a shatnez. That's a combination that we don't find in the verse at all. It should be the 1 day or 7 days, but not 6 days like we do today.
Yeah.
So we have to spend the next 45 minutes. Figuring out how we got to this shat. When I say shatnez, right, I mean combination of things that shouldn't be combined.
Yeah, but if the question is, if when this was when in the original intent, there would be, if it's 7 days, does that include Shabbat or not?
Yeah, why not?
So then they're carrying it on Shabbat as well.
Apparently.
Yeah. So why the prohibition today?
That's what we're here for this morning.
Okay.
Thank you for asking.
And Eruv doesn't help mitigate that?
We're going to talk about that right now.
Okay.
We're going to talk about that right now. So you know what? Since you brought it up, let's talk about it. The mitzvah is ulekachtem, take for yourselves, right? When I stand up in one place without moving and hold the four species, I take them. And we said, right, to take means to acquire. And we said, ulekachtem lechem, take for yourself, means to acquire through purchase, that it belongs to you. The minute it belongs to me and I hold it in my hands, I fulfill the mitzvah. Is there any conflict with the laws of Shabbat in holding these four species and owning them? No. There's no reason in the world that I would think that I shouldn't do it on Shabbat. There's no conflict. Right? Well, there's nothing wrong with holding the four species on Shabbat. Even shaking them, there's no problem. Why?
Wait. Doesn't the law of muchzik then kick in here?
No.
No.
It's not muchzik because anything that is prepared for use on Shabbat,
yeah,
and there's no prohibition in using on Shabbat, is allowed to use on Shabbat. Let me give you an example. Something that you're not allowed to use on Shabbat, like a car, okay, so you can't use the car on Shabbat, it's muktzeh. But a stone, inherent in a stone, there's nothing that conflicts with Shabbat. Rather, why are stones muktzeh? Because they're not prepared for use on Shabbat. You'd have no reason to use it on Shabbat. But if you went to the field on Friday, you looked at a certain stone and said, I designate that stone to sit on Shabbat, then you're allowed to go there on Shabbat and sit in it and pick it up and put it down. It's not muktzeh. So just to say it again, things that inherently are forbidden on Shabbat because they are malacha, because they involve doing work, so they're muktzeh on Shabbat. But things that are just not used on Shabbat, but there's not something inherent against the laws of Shabbat, they're muktzah, but if you designate them for use on Shabbat before Shabbat, then you're not muktzah, like a stone. So if I have the four species, and I designate them for use on Shabbat, fine, no problem.
You can carry them to the synagogue.
Oh, I didn't say carry! Uh-huh. Right? I said hold it and own it. Now you get to the question of carrying. Okay, that's a whole other story. So let's realize you don't have to carry them to do the mitzvah. Right? Do you understand that? If they're here, I picked them up, I did the mitzvah, I didn't carry them.
So you can do it in your house.
I can do the mitzvah in my house, there's no carrying.
Now the law in Shabbat not to carry things, was that after this was written?
No, that's inherent. That's understood to be one of the 39 malachot, one of the 39 prohibitions.
Then,
is carrying.
Then we would have to define rejoice, right?
We've said rejoicing means, in the rabbinic interpretation, is taking the four species with a smile on your face in the Mikdash.
Rabbi, I'm a little confused about something. You said that to take means to acquire, like as if you purchased it. Yeah. But on Shabbat, you're not allowed to acquire.
You know what? That's a good point.
You would have to have done it before.
That's a good point. But Adam's pointing out that the mitzvah, if the mitzvah is defined as acquiring, that would mean you have to acquire it on the day that the mitzvah applies. Uh-huh. And I never ever thought of that. It's a very good point. I can just say that that's not the way the rabbis interpreted. But really, from the verse, I'd really think I'd have to acquire it anew each time that I'm doing the mitzvah. But that's not the way we understand it. We understand it that once you own it, you fulfill the mitzvah just by picking it up, even though you're not reacquiring it.
Okay.
But, wow, that's an interesting point that you just made. Wow.
Well, it seems
yeah,
like...
Yeah, but that would say when to acquire. You could acquire before the holiday, and that's what
it does say.
No, you know, but the question is the mitzvah to own it, uh-huh, or to go through the process of acquiring it? And Adam says that the pshat of the verse is the mitzvah is to go through the process of acquiring it, not just to have acquired it.
No, but if...
But what can I do? That's not the way Halakha understands it.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, as long as the first day of the holiday wasn't Shabbat, you could go out and acquire it on the first day.
Right.
People usually do it before. No,
could you?
Uh-huh. They do it a month before. They order it.
Right. No.
But again, what is the mitzvah? Is it owning it, or is it going through the process of owning it?
No, but it doesn't say you should... Well, number one, it doesn't say you should acquire a new one each day.
No, but it does. Ulekachten lechem. You should buy for yourselves.
No, you shall... Yeah, but it says you shall get for yourselves. But that applies to the first day.
What if the first day falls on Shabbat?
Yeah, but...
But the point is... Well, that's my point. Unless you can't even go out and cut the branches for yourself.
That you certainly can.
So it's either an exchange of money... or going out and cutting, which is forbidden, right? So obviously, you have to acquire it before the holiday begins.
You're right, that's the way it's been interpreted, but Adam's just pointing out that I could have understood the verse differently.
But yeah, you could, except there are other provisions that prohibit that.
Okay, fine. That's where we are. Okay, so now... So the point is, there is no inherent contradiction between doing this mitzvah on the one hand and Shabbat on the other hand. Because we brought up the issue of carrying it, but you don't have to carry it to do the mitzvah. You can do the mitzvah without carrying it. So the question arises, therefore, why today don't we do it on Shabbat? Why today, at Sherit Israel, do we do it on 6 days of the holiday and not the seventh? And not Shabbat.
Because of the connection of the temple with Shabbat? No?
No. But we're about to get to it.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so now...
You could carry it within a neruv.
As certainly, that's correct, right? The prohibition of carrying only applies when there's no eruv, when you're in a public domain. If you're in an area that's been made into a private domain through the community getting together and designating as their community's domain, that's what an eruv is, then there is no prohibition.
So do you carry yours to the synagogue for on Sukkot?
Yes. Uh-huh. But on Sukkot, there's no prohibition of carrying. On Yom Tov, there's no prohibition of carrying, only on Shabbat.
I mean, if it happened on Yom Tov, on Shabbat.
So, but today, the law is we don't do it on Shabbat.
Uh-huh.
Ever. The question is why? So why not?
When was it changed? Do you know?
We're building up the suspense. Okay, let's go now. Okay, so we've just done A on the sheets. That's the background in the verse. I think we've answered there all of the questions. And now we're going to go to B. B says, Tractate Sukkah, Chapter 4, Mishnah 1, first, third, and fourth Hebrew words. So we're going to Chapter 4 of Mishnah 1. And I'll tell you what page that's on.
334.
334, says Mo. And he's right.
Would I lie?
I guess not. It's always the first time. So Chapter 4, Mishnah 1 is the bottom of page 334 in the handout. That's the Blackman Mishnah that is here, page 334, and we're reading words 1, 3, and 4. That's all. So let's do it in Hebrew, okay? It's only three words. Lulav, then I'm skipping a word. Shisha, Vishiva. And that's easy to understand. Lulav, 6 and 7. That's all. So the first thing we have to figure out is 6 what and 7 what? And the answer is days. This Mishnah is an introduction to the whole 4th and 5th chapters. It's like a table of contents. And it's telling us that this chapter will discuss, among other things, the fact that Lulav, the mitzvah of Lulav, the mitzvah of the four species, is sometimes 6 days and sometimes 7 days. Okay, sometimes 6 days and sometimes 7 days. The Vav, the letter Vav, connecting the words Shisha and Shiva, here means or. It's 6 or 7. Lorraine, do you have it? The bottom of page 334? Not yet. The bottom of page 334.
There you go.
Here it is. Right over there.
Thank you.
And again, we read the first word, the second word, the first word, the third word, and the fourth word. Lulav, skip a word. Shisha, the Shiva. The last two lines there in the right hand. So the mitzvah is sometimes 6 days and sometimes 7 days. With that background, let's read the next Mishnah, which explains how this works. The next Mishnah is Mishnah 2. Do you see the place? And Mishnah 2, we'll read it very slowly in Hebrew. Lulav Shiva Ketzad. It's page 335, which is on the same...
Oh, okay, yeah.
Oh, it goes right over here. I could never get that.
Right?
Down. Okay.
I'm sorry, right? Like, right, when I photostat it, so it's 2 pages.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
I always say the hardest part of my classes is dealing with the photostats. Okay. We're reading the first three words of Mishnah Bet, the second Mishnah, and do it in Hebrew. Lulav Shiva Ketzad. And what happened to those three words is that this Mishnah quoted from the previous Mishnah, quoted the words Lulav Shiva, Lulav is 7, and then said the word Ketzad, which means how so? In other words, when does it happen that the mitzvah of Lulav is 7 days? So now if you want to look at the English, you can look at the English. We'll read on. And it goes like this, the explanation. When is it, how is it that the mitzvah of Lulav is 7 days? Yom Tov HaRishon. The Yom Tov, the first Yom Tov, right? Yom Tov HaRishon. Rishon is first. The first Yom Tov. Shechal Liot B'Shabbat. That falls... I'm sorry, I didn't read it well. I read it again. Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag Shechal Liot B'Shabbat. Translation. Yom Tov the first of Chag, of the holiday, right? When Sukkot's Yom Tov, the first Yom Tov, Shechal Liot B'Shabbat, that falls to be on Shabbat. Then Lulav Shiva. Then the Lulav Shiva is 7. So when the calendar works out that Shabbat and Yom Tov are the same day, then the mitzvah is done 7 days.
When the first day of the holiday.
Yeah. Let me add, to make it clear, that we're talking here in the Mikdash, in the temple. We're talking about 7 days. As we learned in the verse, you only do the mitzvah for 7 days in the temple, right? Whatever temple means, what it means, the Temple Mount, it means all of Jerusalem. You do it for 7 days only in the Mikdash. We're talking about the Mikdash. And when do you do it for 7 days, like we learned in the Torah? Only when Shabbat falls on the first day. But then it says, let's just read the next four words. Ushar kol hayamim shisha. And the rest of all the days, 6. Which means, when Shabbat falls on the other days of the holiday, not on the first day, Mm-hmm. When Shabbat falls on the other days of the holiday, then the mitzvah is only 6 days done and not on 7 days. Which day is it not done on?
Shabbat.
But on Shabbat.
If the holiday falls on Shabbat, the first day, then you are going to do it on Shabbat anyway.
Right. But if Shabbat falls on one of the other days of the holiday, then we don't do it on Shabbat. Let's try and figure out why that what might
we
be.
We don't do it even if it's the first day.
Right. So we have to forget for a moment about what we do today.
Fine.
And we're being told what they did in the Mikdash over 2,000 years ago. That some years they kept the mitzvah of lulav 7 days, the whole holiday, and sometimes only six. What's the difference? If Shabbat fell on the first day, then they did it on Shabbat. But if Shabbat fell on any other day, they didn't do it on Shabbat. We have to understand why.
If Shabbat fell on any other day.
Shabbat fell on the second day, the third day, the fourth day of Sukkot, the fifth day, the sixth day.
Started on Wednesday and Thursday, Saturday.
And so,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
No.
I was just going to say that. Well, if the first day is the first day of the day, you're supposed to take possession of the. That's the first day that you're obligated to do it. Right.
Right.
But so that's why you have to do it on Shabbat when you're in the Mikdash.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't there an idea that Shabbat or something you do regularly takes precedence over something that you do?
There is such an idea.
Every now and then. So perhaps when it appears during the rest of the week, you don't have that obligation on the rest of the days of the week like you do on the first day.
Okay, but that doesn't relate to something being more or less regular.
Right. Well, I guess what I was saying is maybe there's something with Shabbat that you know, that took precedence over doing the taking that even but because it's the first day is the most important, even though it's Shabbat you have to do it.
Right. So there's two things that Adam is saying, we have to put them together. We have to assume that there's some issue, there's some problem with doing lulav on Shabbat. And secondly, we have to assume that somehow the mitzvah of lulav on the first day is more important than on the other days. So let's work with my second point first. We have to assume that somehow the mitzvah of lulav is more important on the first day than the other days. And that most probably goes back to the verse we saw, in which we saw that the mitzvah on the first day is explicit. Take for yourselves on the first day. Whereas the mitzvah on the other days is not explicit. It's learned out from the verse. It says, rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. And the rabbis understood it means rejoice before the Lord your God with the lulav. So that's what the verse means, but it's not explicit. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that is probably, and I'm making a long story short, although these things are long stories, right? Can I make a long story short? We can understand, logically speaking, rationally speaking, looking at the verse, that the mitzvah on the first day is what we call mifoash, it's explicit. On the other days, it's not explicit. And therefore, the first day, it's more central. Okay, that's point number one. But point number two is, what could be the problem with doing lulav on Shabbat? There is no problem, because the mitzvah itself is, it's not muktzeh, right? It's not carrying, it's not lighting a fire, it's not cooking, it's not skinning an animal, it's not plowing. What's wrong with it?
To acquire, like Adam said, if we have to acquire the first day, because it's Shabbat, you can't.
But if it was really a violation of Shabbat, we wouldn't do it, even if Shabbat fell on the first day. So, what the Talmud says...
Does it have to do with rest?
No, it doesn't have to do with rest. All of Shabbat has to do with rest, but not...
I mean...
It's actually something you might have heard of. Too bad I don't have the board. It's not that doing the mitzvah is a violation of Shabbat. It's not. There's no violation of Shabbat in doing the mitzvah of lulav. Rather, there is the fear that you might come to violate Shabbat in doing the mitzvah. Doing the mitzvah itself, there's no violation of Shabbat. But there's a fear that if you are doing the mitzvah, you might come to carry the lulav outside.
So it's a fence.
It's a fence. Mm-hmm. There's your 2 points.
Thank you.
Right.
It's Don't I get a point for asking for the chalkboard?
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay. Right. I did ask.
It's a gzera. You've heard the word gzera? Right? It's a fence.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
It's called Gzerat Rava. Rava, the 3rd century...
Zera.
The 3rd and 4th century Amora, rabbi of the Talmudic period, who enunciated this principle to understand what's going on in our Mishnah. Gzerat Rava, the Gzera of Rava, that lest you take the lulav outside because you're so excited about the mitzvah, right? Mm-hmm. You'll take it to a friend to ask how to wave it. You'll take it to someone to show it to them. So there's no violation in the mitzvah, but there's a chashash, there's a fear, there's an apprehension that you might come to violate. And therefore now everything fits together. Since there's no necessary violation, there's no necessary violation in doing the mitzvah lulav on Shabbat, therefore, when Shabbat falls on the first day of the holiday, and it's a mitzvah that's explicit in the verse to do it, so even though it's Shabbat, you do it because you're not violating. Just be very careful not to carry it. But the other days of the holiday, if Shabbat falls on them, so the mitzvah of lulav in those days is not explicit in the verse. It's a mitzvah, but it's not explicit in the verse. And therefore, the rabbis were willing to push the mitzvah aside when Shabbat fell on the other days because of the fear, because of the chashash, the apprehension that lest you would come to carry it outside. And that's why we learned that the mitzvah of lulav is shiva and shisha. Sometimes it's 7 days when Shabbat falls on the first day. Sometimes it's 6 days when Shabbat falls on any other day of the week. Any other day of the holiday. Sorry.
Okay.
Shabbat can't fall on a different day of the week. Right? You want to take a minute to think about that? To ask questions about it?
No, yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, it does make sense.
It makes sense.
Okay. So now we're going to look at another Mishnah that is simply going to explain how this was carried out during the time of the Temple. And it's the next Mishnah, Mishnah 4. We did Mishnah 1 of this chapter, Mishnah 2, and now Mishnah 4, which is on page...
336, I guess.
The top of 336.
Yeah.
The top of 336.
Okay.
To make it easier for everyone, we could look at it basically in English. What was the rite of lulav? If the first holy day of the Feast of Tabernacles happened to fall on Shabbat, which means what? We're going to do the mitzvah, even though it's Shabbat. Right? So how did we do it to make sure that no one would carry? Right? That's the problem, right? They brought their lulavim to the Temple Mount, and the superintendents took them from them and arranged them on the roof of the colonnade. But the older people placed theirs in an office. And they taught them to say, whoever takes up my lulav in his hand, let it be his as a gift. I'll explain all this after we read it. The following day they came early, and the superintendents threw them before them, and they snatched at them and struck one another. And when the court saw that they incurred danger, they ordained that every man should, and the rest of the words are a mistranslation, every man should perform the mitzvah of lulav in his own home. Please fix that mistranslation. It's extremely, extremely confusing. Instead of carry his lulav, it should be perform the mitzvah of lulav in his own home.
Right. Makes quite.
And after we have read that, we can now go back and understand what it says. So we're going to read it again, this time with some understanding. What was the rite of lulav? If the first holy day of the Feast of Tabernacles happened to fall on the Shabbat, They brought their lulavim to the Temple Mount, and the superintendents took them from them and arranged them on the roof of the colonnade. Okay, when is this happening?
It's Shabbat, and oh, it's before Shabbat.
Ah, right? It's saying before Shabbat. Yeah. Since we don't want people to bring their lulavim with them on Shabbat, we want the lulavim to be waiting for them. When they get there, everyone has to come on Erev Shabbat and bring their lulavim to the Temple Mount. Because that's where everyone in the city... And remember, it's a pilgrimage festival. You have about 1 million Jews there, and I'm not exaggerating. Right? And 1 million Jews are going to come Friday morning and deposit their lulavim in a place, in a storage place in the Temple Mount. So the next day, they can come and get their lulavim with their name tag on it. It's going to be a bit complicated, isn't it? 1 million people, I'm not exaggerating. We have Roman historians who have actually testified. They saw 1 million people there. At least.
Mm-hmm. To find their own lula.
Right. That's a real needle in a haystack.
Yes. A real haystack.
Yeah. So it says they brought their lulavim to the Temple Mount, and the superintendents took them from them and arranged them on the roof of the colonnade. Their word roof might not be a good translation. There was a big table or shelf, right? Mm-hmm. And they arranged the lulavim on this big shelf. You might be interested to see the Hebrew word that's here translated as superintendents. It's the word, if you go to the Hebrew, that has the footnote 4, the little number 4 there. What word is that?
Who supervised?
Right. The chazanim, the chazan.
Chazanim, yeah.
Right. Today, the word chazan means a cantor. In those days, the chazan was the gabai. He was the beadle, right? The person who took care of things. So the word has changed its meaning over the course of 2,000 years. In the Mishnah, the chazan are the people in charge of the technical arrangements. So everyone gave over their lulavim to the chazanim, who arranged them on this shelf, or on each tzavah it's called, but the older people placed theirs in an office. In other words, those people who were older and couldn't fight and elbow their way in the next day to get their lulav, they had the option of putting it in an office where things were a little bit less crowded, in a lishka. And there were lots of different lishakot, different offices on the Temple Mount. And they taught them to say, in other words, the rabbis and the chazanim taught everyone to say the following: whoever takes up my lulav in his hand, let it be his as a gift. In other words, the next day, when you're trying to get your own, there's a very high chance you would not get your own. You would get someone else's. Someone else would get yours. And that's a big problem because of one word from the verse.
Yeah.
Which word?
Acquire.
Acquire.
For yourself.
For yourself. Lechem. Right? It says acquire for yourself. So we have a problem. It's the first day of the holiday. You have to have your own lulav to fill the mitzvah. If you don't have your own lulav, you don't do the mitzvah. Now, we learned at the end of last year, in 4 different Mishnayot, this matter that the lulav has to be yours. I just want to test everyone to make sure you remember. This was in chapter 3.
Yeah.
It said the same thing in 4 different Mishnayot that it has to be yours. How did it say that? Tell me in Hebrew, in English, in Yiddish, what scenario did it use to remind us, to teach us, to emphasize it has to be yours?
Well, it can't be stolen.
That's it! That's 3 points, right?
Didn't hear.
What did he say?
Can't be stolen.
Can't be stolen. Remember? Lulav hayavesh vagazul pasul. Lulav that is dry and that is stolen is pasul. Why? Because it's not yours.
Okay.
So here we get to the problem, right? You bought your own lulav, fine. I put it together with 1 million other lulavim, and I try Shabbat morning, the first day of the holiday, to get my own lulav, and I can't find it. I have someone else's. What are we going to do? So the answer is that everyone is trained to say and to think that if someone else gets my lulav, I give it to him as a gift. The minute I give it to him as a gift, it's not his. It becomes his, right? I can give my money or my lulav or my house to anyone I want, and it becomes theirs. If I give, well, this might not be mine, but if I give, I don't own anything. If I give my glasses, right, to Carol Ann, and I say, they're yours, and she has intention to acquire them, they become hers. Money doesn't have to pass hands. You have to give a gift to whoever you want.
Right.
So if I give my lulav as a gift to anyone else, then it becomes theirs. So that means that under this arrangement, you who got someone else's lulav on Shabbat morning, you're dependent on trusting that person that he really is giving it to you b'matana, as a gift.
So you can give a gift on Shabbat?
Ooh.
He asked one.
Good.
Well, there's nothing wrong with giving a gift on Shabbat.
There is. You're not allowed to give a gift on Shabbat.
Really?
Because a gift is a type of transaction. It's a transaction, right? To give a gift means that you are transferring ownership. Transferring ownership.
So when people go to dinner in somebody else's house and they take flowers within the eruv, isn't that a present? Or they don't do that?
But first of all, they certainly don't bring flowers, because flowers you have to put in water. And putting them in water is a category of planting. So we certainly don't bring flowers. But what if you bring chocolates or a bottle of wine?
Chocolates, kosher chocolate.
Right, you have to keep in mind that you're bringing them this wine, but it remains yours. You're allowing them to drink it. And Motzei Shabbat, Saturday night, they can acquire it. But on Shabbat, it can't be acquired. The same thing with bar mitzvah presents given out from the pulpit on Shabbat. The condition is that we are showing the bar mitzvah boy or girl the present, but we're not actually having them acquire it on Shabbat. That has to wait for Saturday night. Or in some places, it was already acquired to them before Shabbat.
You know, here when they have bar mitzvahs, the rabbi and the sisterhood gives a present.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Synagogue. Yeah. But we didn't know that it's not supposed to be.
Well, they don't take it. They don't, but then he takes it back and puts it underneath the.
Really? They don't take it with him. Okay.
Yeah.
This is off the subject. But we had a meeting the other day, and the question came up: when was the first bar mitzvah?
The first bar mitzvah here at
Sheridan? No, the first bar mitzvah ever.
That's right. We were supposed to ask you.
We were supposed to ask
when
you.
When was instituted the
first bar mitzvah? Right. We just had a meeting.
I don't know.
And somebody said, it was in the second, it was mentioned in the New Testament, that it was at least goes back to that.
So
that Jesus went to the temple when he was 13, something like that.
That's very interesting, but I don't know. Of course, what does bar mitzvah really mean? Bar mitzvah is a legal status that occurs without having a party, without having a ceremony.
Right, we know that.
Right? Right? When the child reaches the age of 13, he becomes a bar mitzvah, whether he knows it or not.
But when
did they have the first party?
No. When was it a right of a recognition by law? Was there
It's found in the Mishnah, but it's not found in the Torah. The Torah never mentions the age of 13, right? When did the rabbis come to the understanding that 13 is the age? I have no idea.
And when was it celebrated?
I seem to remember that I have an article on the subject someplace in my archives that I've never read. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the subject. It certainly goes back at least 2,000 years, if not much, much longer.
No, so
fact that girls is 12, that's also in the Mishnah 2,000 years ago.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
No, okay. So what's the connection between that question and what we're looking at?
Nothing.
Oh right, no. But Adam brought it up, because Adam said, "How can I give a gift of my lulav on Shabbat?"
Right.
No. But you don't give a gift on Shabbat when you deposit it the day before, whatever it is beforehand. You said that's when you make the gift.
But how can I make a gift when I don't know who I'm gifting it to?
No, that's a to whom it may concern kind of gift.
When you give tzedakah, sometimes you don't know where it's going, and that's a gift.
Oh, I guess when you put it down, you could say whoever takes this up.
Whoever takes up this up.
I think Adam's question is so good I don't have an answer. Because I can intend on Friday afternoon that whoever picks it up will get it, but he only gets it when he picks it up, and he picks it up on Shabbat. How could that be? You've stumped me. I have no idea.
Well, I'm stumped too.
Yeah, so I will have to think about that. I'll have to look it up. I have no idea.
But there's a legal issue there. I'm not talking about halakha. I'm saying there's a legal... When does the transfer actually take place? Does it take place when the person says it, or does it have to be completed?
I guess that's the answer.
What is the answer?
No,
but I'm not sure because the question is, and we have to actually go on after this. But when does the transaction take place? When the giver gifts it, or when the acquirer acquires it? So it would seem to me obvious at first blush that the transaction is only transacted when the receiver actually acquires it. But that's our problem. That can't be. We have to say somehow that the transaction takes place when the giver gifts it, even though he doesn't know who he's gifting it to. So the legal mechanism that says Zochin l'adam shelo befanav, you can acquire something for someone without them knowing it. So it must be that the Chazanim, right, the Gabai, acquires it for anyone else who will pick it up. Mm-hmm. He acquires it on Friday for anyone who will pick it up on Shabbat.
I think that's the answer.
That's probably the answer, but it's... Thank you very much for the question.
Yeah, I didn't even know you weren't supposed to give a gift. Sure.
That's why we need lawyers in this class.
And Adam's not a lawyer, though.
No, but...
The lawyers aren't here today. Okay, so now let's go on. We're reading Mishnah 4. And we had read, and they taught them to say, whoever takes up my lulav in his hand, let it be his as a gift. The following day they came early, right? Everyone comes early to the mikdash to get their lulav. And the superintendents threw them before them. And they snatched at them and struck one another. And there was no way in the world that a million people can get their own lulav. And it became violent.
Maybe the mistake was throwing them in front of them.
They had no choice. How are you going to give out a million lulavim within a few hours? You have to just wildly throw them. And it got dangerous. And when the court saw... In other words, when the rabbinical authorities saw that they incurred danger... People getting their eyes poked out and being trampled. They ordained that every man should perform. It's a mistranslation. Should perform the mitzvah lulav in his own home.
Uh-huh.
In other words, when
so much safer.
Shabbat fell on the first day of Yom Tov, when we're doing the mitzvah of lulav on Shabbat, it no longer worked that everyone tried to do it in the mikdash. So we had to tell everyone to keep your lulavim at home, do the mitzvah before you come to the mikdash in the morning, and then everything is fine.
So the keep is wrong. Keep the lulav in his own home.
To perform the mitzvah in his own home. Okay. Right. I don't understand why they translated incorrectly here.
That we don't do it in Shabbat. That's when it was...
No. It says they did it.
Yeah.
It says in the Hebrew, Kol echad ve'echad notel ve'veito. Every single one does the mitzvah in his own home.
Okay.
We're doing the mitzvah on Shabbat. Again, it's not what we do today. So just to summarize, the conclusion is that when Shabbat falls on one of the other days of Sukkot, the mitzvah is canceled for that day. We only do it for that year 6 days and not 7 days. But when Shabbat falls on the first day, we said the mitzvah is explicit in the Torah for the first day. So then we do the mitzvah even on Shabbat. How do we do it? At home.
Okay.
So there's no chashash, there's no fear of carrying it. Mm-hmm. It's at home. Right? Everyone does it on their own. And then they come to the mikdash.
Well, that would argue...
And that's for... today.
No.
That's
2,000 years ago in the mikdash. Wait a second.
That would argue then for the understanding that the mikdash then... includes the city, is the whole city of Jerusalem.
Good point. That's a very good point. That's an excellent point. This is actually one of the proofs for that position.
Yeah.
Good. Oh, that's 3 points.
How about that?
Why wouldn't that be true for today?
We have to get to that. We still have 10 minutes left. Wait a second.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. I just want to point out that there is a downside in having everyone do the mitzvah at home. And that relates to something that we looked at the end of last year, we saw that in the Mikdash, they did a ceremony, a very, very impressive and glorious ceremony of saying the Hallel. And they did the mitzvah of lulav during Hallel. Remember that? So just think of lots and lots of people in the temple courtyard, packed like sardines, and everyone sang Hallel together, right? Almost a million people sang Hallel at the same time, all with their lulavim. That was extremely, extremely impressive and meaningful. And now it's being lost. It's being lost because of the danger of the giving out of the lulavim on Shabbat morning, and the elbowing and the trampling that was occurring.
Well, I don't understand. If the whole city of Jerusalem is the Mikdash, then doesn't that seem to imply that you can carry it within the parameters of the city of Jerusalem?
Well, the whole city is not the Mikdash. I mean, it could be performed. You could think that this could be performed within the all of Jerusalem, but you wouldn't say that Jerusalem is...
Isn't that what you said?
Right, right. No, there is an opinion, like we said, that Mikdash means all of the whole city of Jerusalem, and that the mitzvah is for 7 days in the whole city. Mm-hmm. But still, it doesn't imply...
Look.
The city is not a reshuta yechid. It's not a... It's not an individual place you can't carry in the city.
There's no way in the world, given what we know about the dimensions of Solomon's temple, that a million people could fit into that count.
Think of Herod's temple. Think of Herod's temple.
Yeah. Herod's temple of Adonish. Herod's temple wasn't that big either.
No, but the courtyard was much, much bigger. The Temple Mount.
You go up to the Temple Mount today.
Yeah.
I've been up there.
So have I.
Oh, okay.
You're asking, can you fit a million people there?
There's no way in the world that a million people could fit into that. If you look at the kinds of demonstrations that have been in Washington with a quarter of a million people, that takes up far more territory.
Okay,
No, I'm not arguing with the historians.
So maybe they were outside the walls of the Jerusalem.
Yeah, so I don't know. I have no idea.
I'm arguing with the definition here.
Okay, so I just don't know.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying.
I've never seen
it had to be the whole
gathered
city.
That I can think of.
I never either.
So I have no idea what it looks like. I'm trying to imagine what a million people, and I'm not sure I know.
Okay, I want to take the last 10 minutes to do a little bit more. We said that we want to move now to chapter 3, Mishnayot 12 and 13, to put all this together. So we're going backwards to chapter 3, Mishnayot 12 and 13. We're on page 333. And this Mishnah 12 is the one we finished with on June 21st. I think it was June 23rd. So you might recognize it a little bit. And now we're putting it in a larger context, page 333 in the Fotostat, the Blackman Mishnah. It's chapter 3, Mishnah 12. Barishona hayalulav nital b'mikdash shiva. Translation, aforetime, right? Barishona, at the beginning. Lulav used to be taken in the mikdash 7 days.
Is that also performed, or that's a different one? That's different.
By taken, they mean performed. And that's as we've just said, that it was 7 days in the Mikdash, except, of course, when it was six, because Shabbat fell on a different day. But in principle, it was seven, as we learned from the verse. Uve midina yom echad. But in the provinces, only 1 day. The word midina, provinces, means outside of the Mikdash, whatever Mikdash means, whether it means the temple, it means all of Jerusalem. In other places, only 1 day, as we learned in the verse, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're not before Hashem, then it's only B'yom Rishon, it's only the first day. So this is just summarizing what we already knew. But the next sentence is what's important for us. Mi shecharav Beit HaMikdash. Look at that first word I just read. It's the first word of the third line of the Mishnah. Mi shecharav. It looks like one word, it's three words. Mi, that one letter, mem, is a word. She is another word. Charav is a third word. Mi shecharav means from when was destroyed. Charav is Chorban, the word Chorban, destruction. From when was destroyed Beit HaMikdash? Hitkin Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted, Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, Sheyehe Lulav Nital, that the Lulav will be taken, Bemidina, in the provinces, Shiva, for 7 days. Zeche Lemikdash, in remembrance of the temple. In other words, the original law was 1 day outside of the temple, 7 or 6 days in the temple. But then there was no more temple. Second, it was destroyed. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai wanted the Jewish people to remember the way it used to be in the Mikdash. 7 days. Or six, depending when Shabbat fell. So he said, we're going to do every place in the world like we used to do in the temple. And so that means the fact that here at Sherith Israel, you take the lulav for more than just 1 day, that is a rabbinic ordinance that is Zecher LeMikdash. That is remembrance of the Mikdash. To remind us of the Mikdash, to do it as they used to do it. And we're going to end now with the next Mishnah, which describes the way it was done in the synagogues. After this ordinance of doing it for not just 1 day, but for 7 days. And I'm reading it in English.
So what is you didn't finish the paragraph.
I didn't read the last five words of the Mishnah on purpose. We're skipping it. It's a different subject. It's a different subject. So now Mishnah 13. If the first holy day of the Festival of Tabernacles happened to fall on Shabbat, so what are we going to expect it to say? In the Mikdash, right, in the temple, when Shabbat fell on the first day, they did do the mitzvah. And it's going to say in the synagogue the same thing. We do the mitzvah on Shabbat, not like we do it today. But they did do the mitzvah on Shabbat, even after the destruction of the temple.
On the first day.
On the first day. Not on the other days, right? If Shabbat fell on the other days, no. But if Shabbat falls on the first day, then we do the mitzvah even after the destruction of the temple. If the first holy day of the Festival of Tabernacles happened to fall on the Sabbath, all the people bring their lulavim to the synagogue when?
On the morrow.
No. On
Shabbat?
No.
The next day.
The next day.
No.
On tomorrow.
To the synagogue, period. When do they bring them to the synagogue? But when do they bring them to the synagogue?
On Shabbat.
No.
Before Shabbat.
Before Shabbat, just like in the temple. Right, just like in the temple, before they changed it to do it at home, that everyone bring the lulavim to the temple before Shabbat. So in the synagogue now, after there's no temple, so.
No, it just doesn't. It's not specific in the translation.
It's not.
Well, it is.
It's
the
not.
Next lines.
It's not explicit.
But it goes on to say how they're going to get the, come
right
up the next
that's
day.
The problem.
On the morrow, which means Shabbat,
okay,
they come early, and every man discerns his own and takes it up. Because the sages have said, no man can fulfill his obligation in the first festival day of Tabernacles with the lulav of his fellow.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. In other words, let's understand what happened. Let me explain. In the temple where there are a million people, they had to decide that people do it at home because it was getting violent. But in the synagogue, there's no such problem. How many people come to a synagogue? 10, 100. Everyone can find their own lulavim. So when the temple was destroyed, and everyone's doing the mitzvah in the synagogues, so we can go back to the original way of actually doing it on Shabbat in this central place. You don't have to do it at home. You do it in the synagogue. And everyone finds their own lulav that they brought there on Friday. They come Shabbat, they find their lulav, and everything is fine.
Is that what you do?
However, we don't do today what the Mishnah says. And I'm just going to summarize in 1 minute, then Caroline could go. We can go while I'm talking. It's okay.
No,
right? So what we've just learned is that what the law is supposed to be, we don't do this today, what's supposed to be is that the mitzvah is 6 or 7 days. If Shabbat falls on the first day of the holiday, then we do it on Shabbat in the synagogue, having brought the lulavim there the day before. If Shabbat falls on a different day of the holiday, then we don't do the mitzvah, just like we learned in the temple. So it's either 6 or 7. Today, the custom has developed differently. Today, the custom has developed that even when the first day of the holiday is Shabbat, we don't do it. Why? The reason seems to be because of this whole matter of 2 days of Yom Tov. Now, in the diaspora, when we have 2 days of Yom Tov, why do we have 2 days? Because there's a doubt, which day is the real day? So since we have a second day of Yom Tov, you can always do it the other day. If Shabbat falls on one of the days, you can do it the other day. That's what we have today. And that explains what we do today. And the only problem is that even in Israel today, where there's only one day, we still don't do it on the first day when it falls on Shabbat. Why in Israel not? That a lot of ink has been spilt and it's really not clear.
Oh my goodness.
We really should be doing it, it looks like, on the first day of Shabbat in Israel. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Okay.
2 days of Yom Tov.